Amen, choir. Thank you. I hope all of you can look back and see that aunt or aunt that you lift in a high esteem for their love for you when you were young and as you grew in life. One of mine was Aunt Wanda. And I lift Aunt Wanda up because of a simple thing she did with me when I was a little tiny thing and with others, and I remember it probably at 3 years old. You know how it is when the child's lying there and their toes are exposed. And she would start by that big toe and say, "This little piggy went to market, and this little piggy stayed home, the next toe. And the next toe, this little piggy had roast beef." Does everybody know it? Yeah. "Then this little piggy had none." And then finally she grabbed that little tiny toe. "And this little piggy cried wee, wee, wee all the way home." Aunt Wanda expressed so much love for the children. And I know that so many of the children learned how to kind of count your toes from that expression and that teaching. And look at our feet. Have you ever tried to look at yourself without looking in a mirror? There are limitations on what we can see. I can see my toes or my feet. I can see my ankles. Can't see my eyes, though, can I? No, we can't see our eyes. We can see our legs, our hands, our arms. We can look down and see the stomach, especially as our men's stomach grows. Or we can see our chest. There are other things that we can see in our body, but obviously we cannot see our neck, cannot see our face, cannot see the back of our head, unless there's a mirror. We can't see how that suit or dress looks upon us unless we look in a mirror. We all know that popular image of the story in Snow White, where the wicked witch glanced in the mirror, and you all can help me, I'm sure. What does she say? Yeah, we all know that. "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" We all know that. You know, when she looked into that mirror, she didn't see the wicked witch. She saw beauty, right? Young beauty. Imagine the time when the average person did not have a mirror, was not able to see themselves. That would have been at the time of Jesus. Glass was coming into play. Romans were starting to use some glass. But when there was a mirror, it was not a perfect reflection. You could see in it dimly. Couldn't see everything about yourself. Like that one mirror we had here this morning, that if you turn it over, I can look in my face. Oh my goodness, that wrinkle here and there, I don't see that on a regular mirror. Vision wasn't accurate. Kind of reminds me of those mirrors when you go to the carnival and all of a sudden, you know, that tall, thin person looks short and fat and vice versa. The mirrors, they change things on us. They reshape us. Today in the Song of Love that we all admire, from the writings of the Apostle Paul, it brings the analogy of the mirror, or literally looking into a glass, into Scripture. I'll share it with you again. After love never ends, moving to verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly or darkly, in darkness. But then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, only in partiality. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. When you look into the mirror, do you see love? Do we see love in that mirror? Here's the question I pose. Is why do we see the gift of love only in part? Or can we see all of the love that's inside of us when we look in that mirror? This great gift that is before us is only partially a part of our faith. It's only partially a part of our hope. And it's only partially a part of our love. The answer is that other things, doctrines, beliefs, habits of our living, our culture, our self-interest, they all get in the way. They keep us from seeing the truth. I'm always amazed at the gospel lesson of today, where Jesus goes into Nazareth as he had gone into Capernaum. He's in his hometown. And last week's gospel is leading in today's gospel. It's all the same gospel lesson, but they divide it into 2 weeks. And last week, when Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolls up the scroll, gives it back to the attendant, sets down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue is upon him. First, they were amazed at him. Amazed. This is Joseph, the carpenter's son. Jesus says to them first, it's kind of like we joke around and say Jesus' first sermon. And here's his first sermon in that scripture. "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And then he sat down. That's a pretty short one. It is when they begin asking Jesus questions that the honeymoon for the preacher wears away. And his statements of truth are most unsettling. Most unsettling in his fellow kinsmen. In verse 25, Jesus declares, "The truth is..." Why was the truth troubling? Because Jesus informs the people that in previous challenging times, God showed his love and compassion for more people than just those who worshipped in the synagogue or went to the temple to worship. People who were not Jews, God showed his love for them. It says, "There were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine in the land. Yet Elijah was sent by God not to one of those widows of Israel, but to the widow in Zarephath in another country in Sidon, and in the lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha. And none of them was cleansed except Naaman," not the Israelite, but the Syrian. The people could not accept God's love. Their love was only partial. They couldn't accept his love for other people. They were focused upon themselves and limited to partial love. They didn't have the capacity to look into the mirror and be face to face with God somewhere in their heart, looking in that mirror and seeing the love of God out of self-interest. As the bulletin cover today shows, they took Jesus up the hill and were going to throw him over the cliff. And then he walks through them. People in the synagogue could be described as the people in the book of Numbers, where Paul got the expression from, chapter 12, verse 8. With him I speak face to face, clearly not in riddles. The word riddles there comes up in Paul's translation, but it don't make it literally riddles. People in there looking into the mirror see riddles. They see things they don't understand about themselves. Unlike Moses, the people of Israel could not see face to face with God. They were in riddles, giving inaccurate meaning to the meaning of God's law. While waiting on Moses to come down from the mountain, what did they do? They handed in all their gold and they made a golden calf. They made their own God. They were only partial in their believing. In the letter of James, in the Bible, James applies this facet to going to God's word. We all know James, that he says, you know, you're not saved by grace, you're saved by doing God's word. Martin Luther said James should not be in the Bible for that. I'm glad he's in there. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, says James, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they look like, much less see Christ. Now I turn and ask, what mirror are we who are Grace Church looking into today? When it comes to God, do we look into the mirror dimly? Or are we able to truly look face to face and see the true love of God within us and among us? Are we stuck on partiality? Or are we ready to truly accept the calling of Christ to be followers that are capable of God's directive to work for change in our portion of the world? Are we capable of turning God's scripture as a mirror for our lives into doing God's word and keeping faith in God? Are we willing to open the mirror to see if the church of Jesus Christ is being called to our church? Are we willing to adapt to the changes in the culture that challenge us? Grace Church, you're great at doing the institutional church. I should say we. That's where most of my time is spent since I've been here. That's the side of the ministry that Grace can really do. Take care of the property. Have good potlucks. And I love to eat at those. Pay a pastor. Provide for a pastor. Do good outreach, giving dollars to good causes or canned goods. Good at worship. But that's a partial ministry. That's a ministry that our culture has pretty much abandoned all around us. So how do we move into the real call of love beyond partiality? One example. When I was in director of the West Virginia Council of Churches, I worked with a group called Kairos. Kairos ministry. Kairos is that Greek word in the Bible that means God's time. There's two words in the Bible for time. One is chronos. We get the word chronology, and we measure time like we measure it today, on a clock or on a calendar. But Kairos is God's time. So the Kairos ministry focuses on prisons. And I was doing so much work on prisons in terms of policy, but they have direct action ministry. And so I decided to spend time with Kairos and going into prisons. So we spent a weekend in a prison. There were 20 or 30 of us volunteered to do that from many different churches, including some people in Ohio, from both sides of the river. We would lead small groups of prisoners and discuss faith and Christianity. The churches behind us made cookies for every inmate in the prison that weekend, receives a dozen cookies. And then, of course, the ones who come to the Kairos gathering get even more cookies. And if you're incarcerated, nothing like homemade cookies. But I led a small group. It was about 8 men in their 20s and a couple in their 30s. And we would talk and share. And they would share so well about their lives and tell the story of why they wound up in prison because of their drug habit. They went and committed a crime, burglarized a home, or whatever else they did to get money to buy drugs. And they would say, and I'm seeking Jesus. I'm in prison. And one young man, about 35, says, you know, this is now my third time in prison for committing a crime based on my want and need for drugs. He said, every time I've come out, I said, Jesus is going to take care of me. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to talk with Jesus, and I'm going to stay off drugs. But when I get out, I'm back in the same situation. And so I quickly go the other way, and with my wife and 2 children again are left behind. He said, this time I know I have to spend my time in here paying my price for the crime I've done. I'm not asking to get out early, even though I know I need to love and care for my family. He said, but I know until I get the strength to follow Jesus in a way and have the right therapy to deal with these drugs, I can't get out. He shared in prison when we had worship with all the groups together. They sang. They worshiped. They told their testimonies. In this particular weekend, we learned from the Kairos people that often did these events at the prison. We learned that there's 2 major gangs in this prison. And one of the leaders of the gang came to the Kairos weekend, was in one of the groups. And then something happened. The leader of the other gang in the prison, these 2 gangs that were opposed to each other and would often turn in violence against each other, he came to the Kairos weekend too. And at the time to stand up and give your testimony, he stood up. You should have seen the guards' faces. It was like they had seen face to face. This man said, you know, I have never been a Christian. I've been opposed to faith. That's not the way of my life, I've said. But I knew that so-and-so over here, the leader of the other gang, was coming, so I knew I had better come. I didn't want him to get a leg up on me. He said, but now you have taught me that there is love that I didn't know about. You've taught me something about Jesus this weekend. And he walked over to that other gang leader, and they had already talked, and they hugged. All the staff of the prison couldn't believe their eyes. It is as though God came face to face. Where are we in the church with ministries that reach out to this culture when prisons are growing so rapidly? There are so many other ministries that we could look at, that we're called to look at. And we need to look in the mirror and reflect upon our life individually and together and find the way to truly give ourselves to the love of God. I heard a story once about a preacher. It was the honeymoon was over in the church. Chaos was happening. People were complaining about what this pastor was doing. So he said, as he saw that there was hope to work through the problems, he said, "I got an idea." So on Sunday morning, when people came into worship, there was a casket laying up here. And then he asked, after the sermon, he asked everybody to come by and look at the casket. He said, "You're going to see the face of Jesus in that casket. I want you to come and look at it." So they would file by and they would look down at the casket and then file out. But many would stop. They were a little bit startled. They didn't see the face of Jesus. It had a mirror in it, and they saw their own face. Today, as we conclude in communion, we're going to partake of communion here, and we're going to ask you to walk down here and look into the mirror and look at your face and look at the reflections of the sanctuary and of all together. And stop long enough to say, "Where's God's love in me?" That's part of what we're doing today. It's kind of like what Paul said if I can find it here. In another piece, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit." We can do it. We can find the way to be the church of Jesus Christ in the world today. God calls us to do so.